Turn with me again to the Gospel of Luke this morning, Luke chapter 12. This, I think, will be our last week for a little while in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at the prophet Jonah for a month or so this summer. If you want to read ahead and read through that great story as well, the prophet Jonah. This morning, Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22 through verse 34. Please give careful attention to the holy word of God. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink. Do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Winston Churchill, reflecting on his career, said, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened." And maybe you, as well as I, can relate to creating a lot of worry and anxiety and stress over even things that never happened. That's common to our humanity, worrying, fearing, daily even. Jesus is very clear in his message to his disciples in this passage that we read this morning. Verse 22, "Do not worry about your life." Verse 26, "Why do you worry?" Verse 29, "Do not keep worrying." Verse 32, "Do not be afraid." It begins this part that we've read this morning, "For this reason, do not worry." For this reason. What reason? Well, you go back several weeks ago when we looked at the verses previous, Jesus told this parable about a rich man who acquired even greater wealth. And he lived his life, or at least was preparing to live his life, trying to store up as much as he could to enjoy himself and to relax forever. And we saw that Jesus was highlighting his self-focused, selfish, and greedy attitude in this. He was an example of greed, a life of greed or covetousness. And Jesus showed that how utterly foolish that sort of thinking, that sort of living, proved to be in that man's life, as God called him to death that very night that he was making these plans. But there is an alternative that Jesus pointed to, that is to be rich towards God. Not rich in stuff, not rich in an abundance of belongings, but rich towards God. And so Jesus begins this passage, "For this reason," that is, because it's so evidently foolish to place your hope and your joy in things, in stuff, in wealth in this life. For this reason, because it's richness towards God, towards the God who provides, that really satisfies, that really matters and lasts, do not worry. We would usually sharply distinguish between the words greed and worry. The parable in the previous passage was about greed, and this passage is about worry. But really, if you think about it, those things are two sides of the same coin. They're inextricably linked, greed and worry, or desire and fear. What you fear, our fears, our worries, are simply worries about not having something that we desire. And so they're closely linked. And Jesus' teaching that we've seen already in this book and that we will continue to see, he teaches that his disciples, anyone who follows after him, has changed desires, has new desires. And so it follows that their worries, their fears would change or would go away as well. That those who follow Jesus have been given freedom from worry, freedom from fear and anxiety. Freedom to belong to God is to be freed from a fear of anything. And Jesus is teaching that the Christian life is to be characterized by freedom from worry, as the world worries. Not concern, as we'll see, but worry. Verse 22, the way Jesus puts this is, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will put on, what you will wear. Even in these necessities, these absolute necessities in terms of living this life, eating and clothing, Jesus says, do not worry. I think what's incredible to me in reflecting on this passage is realizing that I never worry about those necessities. What I'm going to eat, or at least whether I'm going to eat, and whether I'm going to have something to wear. Now, these are things that most people in all of history have concerned themselves with. They've been worried about, unsure of, but I never do. I never have to worry about those things. And I think there's a sharp challenge, even a rebuke to an affluent American like me who worries so much, spends so much worry on things that are so far downstream from these necessities that Jesus is speaking of. My worries concern when and what and how much I will eat or how cool my clothes will look, things like that. Because I have an abundance of these things that are true necessities. I worry about all the many ways I try to keep up with my busy, luxurious life. Of course, there are noble things that we all worry about as well, important things that bring us anxiety, many things that we rightly have a great concern for or sorrow over. But I want us to be clear, there's a big difference, and the Scriptures teach this difference, between a deep concern or care over something, even emotion, and on the other hand, fear and worry. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Jesus is saying, even as you concern yourself with good things, with important matters, you need not fear. And he says repeatedly in this passage, consider. Verses 24 and 27, think about it. Think about what's true. Think about the God that you serve. That's really the answer to worry and fear. I want us to do that this morning. My family and I have been traveling for the last week plus and slept in a number of strange new places. Maybe you've had the experience that I have of when you're in a strange place, the first night you wake up at some point in the night and you don't know where you are and you experience at least a few seconds of confusion, wondering where you are, not recognizing your circumstances, not remembering why you're there. But then pretty soon, hopefully, you remember. You stop and you think about how you got there, why you're there, and what you're doing. And that's really what we want to do this morning as we consider why it is Jesus tells us not to worry. We don't want to consider, to stop and think about what is true. What is true of us? What is true of our God? So I'm going to begin with six things to consider, six reasons to live in your freedom from worry, and then move on to several positive ways to live out instead of worry. So you can follow along in your outline that's in your bulletin if you like. The first reason we're called not to worry is that the things you worry about will not satisfy. The things you worry about will not satisfy. This is simply to reiterate the first point, the point of the parable that I've already mentioned this morning. It comes right before this passage. To live a life of concern for material things as your controlling concern and worry will not satisfy you. And Jesus makes clear it will end in disaster. You will lose all of it, and it will have been a waste. In verse 21, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself. That's what Jesus says of the rich man who made all these plans with himself and then died that very night. What the Scriptures teach is that if you desire above all else the things that God promises, the things that are most true and most real and most needed, then you will never be disappointed. Again, that doesn't mean that we don't carefully concern ourselves with material things and our circumstances. It doesn't mean we don't carefully plan for the future, that you don't invest in your 401k or your Roth IRA. But since trusting and planning and wealth management and smarts are so evidently, ultimately insufficient for security and lasting happiness, you must look to God rather than worry when you face uncertainty of those things. Verse 29, Jesus says, do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. The word seek is simply to go after, to pursue something, to focus on it. The NIV puts it this way, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. In other words, don't tie yourself, don't tie your whole emotional life to these things that you worry about. Don't set your heart on those things. Don't let those things be that which determines how you feel, where your heart is. Jesus uses actually a different word in the Greek here in verse 29 for worry. The word means literally to raise high. It just means to raise high. And figuratively, it was used, for example, of ships being tossed high and low on a storm. So the ship would go to the rise of the crest of the wave and then fall into the trough, up and down, up and down. Maybe you have, if you've ever tried to stand on one leg, to hold one of your legs and stand on the other leg, maybe you know the trick to doing that successfully, to stand in balance. Well, it's if you just focus on a certain point. If you focus on a blade of grass or focus on a tree, something that's still, you can balance much more easily. If you try to balance on one leg while you're watching a butterfly or watching a kid play or watching a car drive by, it's almost impossible. That's similar to setting your heart on things that change, that move, that are uncertain. We spend so much time and energy worrying about things that go up and down or come and go or can change. Our emotions are based on the weather or our health or weight or our kids' obedience or homework or sleep or 100 different things. Again, Jesus is not saying don't concern yourself with these things, but don't fear them. Don't fear outcomes. Don't be controlled by these things. Don't set your heart on them. They cannot make you happy. Secondly, the second reason not to fear is that God is sovereign and comprehensively cares. God is sovereign and comprehensively cares. Verse 23 again, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. There's again food and clothing, and Jesus goes on to illustrate both of those with two illustrations, each of those with an illustration. The first one is verse 24. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, yet they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. It's been often suggested that probably Jesus mentions ravens here or crows, some bird like that, because it was one of the least liked birds an annoying bird. Still can be, even today. It was also an unclean bird, according to the Old Testament ceremonial laws. It was an unclean animal. The point is, yet, God even cares for these, for ravens. That's true of all animals. Insert whichever animal you like least, or whichever animal annoys you the most. God even cares for those, even for rats, even for mosquitoes. Whatever that is. Psalm 147. Maybe what Jesus has in mind. He gives to the beasts their food, even to the young ravens that cry. This illustration here, we need to be clear, does not encourage laziness or passivity. He's not saying, look at the ravens, they don't do anything, and God provides for them. The point is not so much be like the raven, but to see how great and comprehensive God's care is. The illustration is really of primarily of God's care. It's even for the ravens. The ravens, yes, they don't have storehouses. They don't have big barns like the rich man who is planning for the future. They don't have that capability, that capacity to plan for the future even, and yet God feeds them. So the ravens are not an example of laziness, but of lack of anxiety, if anything. So God is sovereign and comprehensively cares. Thirdly, God's children are of great value to Him. God's children are of great value to Him. Jesus makes this point in speaking of the ravens and then goes on in His second illustration. He says, how much more valuable you are than the birds. Look how God cares for even an annoying, unclean animal. You are of much more value. He made the same point earlier in this chapter. In verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. It's your value to God that ought to bring you to the point that which you don't worry or fear. His other illustration is in verse 27. Consider the lilies, these flowers, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will He clothe you? There's really two points, two angles, two arguments that Jesus is making here. He's pointing this out from the lesser to the greater, for example. If God so clothes little flowers, He gives them such beauty and care, and they're worth so little, they're alive so briefly. Does God not then have clothing, have adornment for His children to whom He's given eternal life? Think of it that way, or you can think from the greater to the lesser. He compares to Solomon. For all the wealth and money spent and the great lengths to which Solomon went, certainly to adorn himself gloriously, he cannot match the intricate beauty of God's creation, even in small examples like a flower. And certainly with modern science, we know that to be even more abundantly true. With microscopes and modern biology, understand how a flower is adorned. The point is that if God clothes the flowers so magnificently, the greater to lesser, will He not give basic clothing, basic needs to His children, to His people? Jesus closes this illustration with, you men of little faith. You men of little faith. Little faith is revealed in anxiety, in our worries about daily provision. Little faith is exposed as a belief that God is not in control. Worry is exposed as a belief that God is not loving or that God is not true. Whether we would articulate it that way in the midst of our worries, that's really what they reveal. They occur when disciples forget that they are more important in love than birds and flowers. And so when you're tempted to worry, take a moment to look at birds and flowers and remember God's promise. Fourthly, or not to worry, because God knows your need. God knows your need. Again, a very simple but powerful truth if we will simply believe it, embrace it. I'll just point out briefly where we see this in verse 30. Your Father knows that you need these things. Verse 32, your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Notice in this context, Jesus doesn't say, just buck up and act like men, quit whining and deal with it. He's very tender and gracious. He addresses his people tenderly as a vulnerable, frail flock of lambs. In verse 32, albeit lambs who can and must trust their shepherd. But remember that your shepherd, Jesus, became a lamb. He suffered the frailty of our human existence. He walked among us. He understands that we are fragile. He understands the temptation to fear and to worry about bad things in this fallen world. God knows your need. Fifthly, God delights to supply your need. Do not worry, because God delights to supply your need. God is not simply a creator and provider. He doesn't just put up with you. Jesus makes clear here, verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. What a sweet promise that is to remember, that He is not just willing, but He's pleased to provide for you. He's glad to give to you, and not only to give you necessities, but as He says in verse 32, to give you the kingdom. All the promises and the blessings of the kingdom of God, spiritual blessings in increasing measure now, assurance of salvation, assurance of your forgiveness, sanctification and joy and peace and holiness and communion with God, but also a new heavens and a new earth, everything that you could desire for all of eternity. This is what God gives you. Far beyond the things that we worry about day to day, God is glad to give you the kingdom of God. And so this verse contains another command, not to fear. Do not be afraid, little flock. In other words, if you knew your Father, if you knew how much He loved you, how pleased He is to serve you and provide for you, you would not fear. If you knew Him as the one who says, do not be afraid, little flock, you wouldn't worry. We would sing with full faith the words of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sixthly, and finally under this point, worry, we're not to worry, because worry characterizes the unbeliever. Worry characterizes the unbeliever, the one who does not know the Lord. Verse 30, for all these things the nations seek, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. Fear and worry are part of our sinful nature. They're not inherent to humanity as it was originally created. It's inherent part of our sinful nature. It's part of what we're to be putting off. We've been given power and freedom to choose against worry and fear and anxiety. It's unbelievers who do not know a God who is sovereign, who created them in His image, who delights to meet their needs. And so they rely on and worry about themselves. Pause and think about the fact that you always speak, you always act, you always think because of what you believe. You eat because of what you know and believe and have experienced about food. You sleep. You go to bed because of what you know and believe about sleep, what you've experienced. You wear a seatbelt or you don't wear a seatbelt because of what you believe or experienced about that. And on we could give examples. Fear and worry likewise rise out of what you believe or don't believe about God, at least functionally, in that moment. Fear and anxiety and worry are evidence of our functional worldview. It may not be what we would sit down and thoughtfully articulate in an essay, but it evidences our functional worldview. Is God sovereign? It shows answers to questions like, is He good? Is He just? Is He loving? Are you valuable to Him? Does He know your needs? Does He delight in you because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus? And do your answers to these questions make you distinguishable from an unbelieving world? The worry characterizes the unbeliever. Well, let's move, secondly, to positive ways that we're to live out a life of not worrying, of being distinguished from a world that doesn't know this God. So instead of worrying, be first full of faith and faithful. Full of faith and faithful. Jesus here encourages strong, full faith in God to be and do what God claims. Our faith is not a feeling or a hope that things are just going to be okay, that they're going to turn out all right. Our faith is a knowledge about who God is. It's a knowledge of who we are if we know we've been redeemed through Jesus' life and death and resurrection. But the point I want to make particularly here is that a firm belief in God as sovereign, as provider, as director of all of history does not lead us then to simply a hands-off, carefree life. A faith is not just passivity and laziness because God is in control. Rather, it establishes the life and struggle and hard work and joy and sadness that we rightly experience. And so Jesus speaks here in this passage both of God providing and of our striving, our working hard, our serving, our seeking. Look at verse 31 again. All these things will be added to you. Verse 32, your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And so the things that we need and the things that God provides are given. They're gifts. They're given by His grace. We receive them. But on the other hand, Jesus says in verse 31, but seek His kingdom. That there's an active side, there's a faithfulness side of it for you as well. Actively pursue the kingdom. Actively pursue what is good and right. Choose to serve God actively and joyfully and without fear. Verses 33 and 34 also speak of the response of faithfulness to a true knowledge of God. There's no true faith that doesn't also carry with it faithfulness. It's not true faith that is simply hands off and carefree. So not worrying is not being carefree or stoic or lazy. The call is not to trust God simply without being active in our lives, but to serve Him actively, to trust God by serving Him. It's not to trust God but also serve Him, but to trust God by serving Him, actively and busily seeking His kingdom. William Hendrickson illustrates this, the two sides of this truth, of this coin, with a tree, the illustration of a tree. A tree is, in one sense, quite dependent. It receives sunlight that it can do nothing about. It receives rainwater. These things are out of its control, and yet they're essential for its life. And yet the tree is also active in seeking these things, with putting out its roots, spreading out its leaves to catch the sunlight. So are we to be regarding the kingdom. Secondly, instead of worrying, be kingdom-minded. Be kingdom-minded. Look at verse 31 again. But seek His kingdom. Seek His kingdom. Don't separate your Christianity from anything in your life. The kingdom of God touches all of your life. Before you are a son or a daughter or a father or a mother, before you're a neighbor, a friend, before you're a high schooler or a college student, before you're an American or an athlete or a scholar or an employee, you are a servant of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. in all of those things. You have a king who rules and defends you, who identifies with you, who forgives you, who has given you various callings, who will equip you for those callings, a king who will guide you even through death. And so do not fear. In verse 34, Jesus closes with, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What you treasure or love in this life determines what, and maybe whether, you fear. What you treasure determines what you will fear. And if you treasure above everything else the kingdoms of success and comfort and health and leisure, even friendship and family, and these are the things you will worry about, which will ultimately control you, which will ultimately disappoint you at death, if not sooner. Maybe good things to be concerned with. But Jesus says, seek the kingdom in all of these things. Live within the kingdom of Christ as you pursue these other things. And all that you need and much more will be added to you. And thirdly and finally, and do not worry, but be generous and selfless. I'm going to take these two together as we close. Be generous and selfless. Verse 33, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself money belts which do not wear out, and an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. If you treasure the sure and eternal blessings that God gives through salvation in Christ, then you are free to be generous. You're free to be generous. Have you ever thought about it that way? Not just able or commanded, but you're free to be generous. And this is not a command for everyone to literally sell and give away everything that you have, but an example of one outworking of a lack of worry among believers. A lack of worry about having your needs met frees you to be generous, to think of others, and not yourself constantly. You've been free to give generously of your time, of your abilities, of your money to the work of the kingdom of God, which is any giving, as the kingdom of God touches all of life, in your home, in your church, wherever you have opportunity. In Luke 14, 33, Jesus will say, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Again, the idea is that the Christian is ready to give any or all that he has for the sake of the kingdom. There's no fear in that, no fear of want in being generous. And you can do so gladly, knowing how gladly your Heavenly Father gives and will give to you. Worry is inherently self-focused. Worry is inherently self-focused. The chief ethic of the kingdom of God is humble selflessness. It's humble selflessness. And you've been freed not to think of yourself, not to focus on yourself, to be generous with others. And so instead of worrying, be full of faith and faithful. Instead of worrying, be kingdom-minded. Instead of worrying, be generous and selfless. One writer summed up this whole larger section of Luke 12 with simply these words, "Living is more than having." Living is more than having. So may that be true among us as a congregation, that we would be, as Paul describes to Timothy, what we read together just a few minutes ago about what his congregation ought to look like in light of God's grace to them, that they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for your word and for revealing to us that which is truly life. And we confess again the many things that we have fallen into temptation following, believing that they give us true life, that they allow us to really live and be happy. Lord, we thank you for the many things that you've given us to enjoy, things that do make us happy, fun things, fun relationships, enjoyable experiences, much resources. But Lord, please free us more and more from worry about these things. Don't let them control us, but let us be controlled by the Lord Jesus and the way He lived this life and the salvation that He has granted to us and the many great promises. We pray this in His name. Amen.